on broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
And it looks like everything is good. And this is, of course, really good because it's episode 189 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com. And with me, we do have Tanya Higgins of Daisies and Shits Productions, or Ninjeel, which is coming soon.
We can go with Daisies and Shit Productions.
Well, fine.
Hi.
Hi. How's it going, Tanya?
Oh, it's Ducky.
It's Ducky. Alrighty. Check. And let's see here. If for those who have not noticed, the last episode of the Webcomic Beacon at PenguinCon 2011. If you hadn't heard it before, because if you might just get the feed, go to the website, actually look for that episode, and watch the video. That I uploaded later, which has, you can see the whole thing and me and Tanya going at it.
Like, you can watch my nervous breakdown.
Yes. And it's hilarious. It's wonderful. So go ahead and check that out. This week on the Webcomic Beacon, we're going to be talking about website design for webcomics, as Ross Scott from the newscast had brought up some interesting points, and we said we'd talk about it later, and today is the day we're talking about it later. We have Ross Scott from The System Comic at thesystem.com. Thesystemcomic.com, welcome.
Yeah, systemcomic.com. Yeah, hey, guys. It's Ross Scott,
that's me. It's been so long.
I know, it's been mere minutes. Glad we got the buzzing under control.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
I guess I shouldn't launch into a tirade just yet, right?
Not yet, because we have a guest with us that was also from the last newscast we had. We have Carter from Crooked Gremlins at, I just lost the link here, and it's the Crooked Gremlins at crookedgremlins.com. Welcome to the show!
Hello.
Oh. That was like a Muppet entry. That was like,
Yeah. Yay! I can do the arm thing too.
I was gonna say he does the little Kermit arm thing with it. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So all right, we have a probably hopefully a fully packed show today, and hopefully we'll cram it all into one episode because we have to. So, if anybody's who's ever been listening to this podcast after 3.5 years and over 180 episodes, thank you very much for staying with us. I know there's been some trying times, some drama. Actually, I don't care. Well, thanks for listening anyway. But you know that we've talked about webcomic website design on several shows, and I think one of our earliest shows we actually did talk about it. I think in the first 10 episodes we did. But that doesn't mean that we can't talk about it again because things change. Webcomics have changed from the beginning, and Ross Scott has some commentary on it, in which I will turn over to Ross Scott to kind of explain what he has done recently.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm a web designer as by day, so to speak. And in my job as a web designer, you know, things are constantly evolving. In terms of design, I mean, things are changing all the time. And I realized the other day when, weeks ago now, when I was looking at websites that, you know, there's so many sites that are so addictive for so many reasons, content aside, just due to kind of the way that they're laid out, that they kind of encourage people to spend more time on them and doing all these things. And that's something that gets talked about a lot in web design with, like, a lot of sites that I've mentioned in this post that I wrote up, you know, how Last.fm encourages people to keep listening, or how Foursquare encourages people with its whole incentivizing with points and stuff like that. And you know, that sort of thing. And I just thought, why hasn't webcomics embraced that at all? Why haven't any webcomics done anything new or unique or interesting with their design that works? And I know that every, like, couple months there's always some, like, experiment that someone sends a link to and is like, this is a cool experiment. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. People need to be doing that kind of stuff. But even so, like, why aren't the bulk of webcomics changing at all? So I started to do some research, and I realized this whole template that most webcomics seem to use. Now, I don't mean, like, one physical file template, like Comic Press or something. I mean the actual visual template of you have the comic, it goes here, you have the header, it goes here, you have this little blurb that goes with it, it goes here, and you have this navigation that goes first, previous, next, last, and maybe a random button, and that goes with it. And you have that kind of basic idea on every single webcomic site, or most of them, 99% or something like that, you know. And that idea, that original setup, was something that was set up about 15 years ago, you know, with the first kind of webcomic sites.
And I do want to interject.
Yes.
We've been told that that is not true. Zoe Robison of ZoeRobison.com said that's not how it actually did start. They were organized by chapters, and then you'd read a whole bunch like that in one go. And we didn't. That's why the current navigation evolved out of that. Because it wasn't easy, especially for archive dives, but it wasn't easy to keep your place, for one. And I do know that some people, especially if they're like cartoonists that also are on the web, right. I do know that some of them, if they have like a short story, not all the time, but many times you'll find, like, if it's like 12 pages, it's just page after another. Or they'll have, like, eight pages on one whole page at a time.
The chapter system didn't happen with, like, Penny Arcade and Questionable Content and Something Positive and a lot of the early webcomickers that we're all aware of, because they didn't have chapters. They weren't, you know, that kind of story.
Right, in the same way that those initial comics inspired a lot of comics that were in the same style, like, you know, a lot of video game comics popped up after a couple of video game comics became popular and things like that. In that same way, I think a lot of what happened with website design for webcomics did the same thing, where they saw certain tropes. You guys will love that, because you know. And, you know, they then, you know, mimicked those tropes a lot. And I think that that became a very common kind of thing when this started. And so now there are a lot of different templates out there, and they're all very good in a lot of ways, and there's some benefits to having a standard system like this. But I guess my point is, why did, like, no one's innovating? And I'm not saying that one person needs to do something crazy. What I'm saying is there needs to be innovation. There are better ways of navigating sites now than the sort of navigation that you see on these sites. I mean, and so the article that I posted, which is over on my site at systemcomic.com, talks about all the different, I just mentioned a bunch of different types of sites and the things that they do to encourage people to keep spending time on their sites. So things like how Tumblr has an infinite scroll page that just keeps going, keeps going, and makes you waste a lot of time. And that is one of like 10 different ideas or so that I put forth. But, you know, why can't an archive dive page be like a special template page on sites that let you, you know, instead of having to click through, it just, you just zoom through, you know, for one example. Right. Or you know, the idea of YouTube's related content, or of content generally loading in without having to go to a different page, or you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. So I just tried to start a discussion on, you know, what are some new things that are out there? What are some approaches that people could take that would be different or expand upon the ideas of what people are used to? And I got a lot of feedback, some good, some like, yes, we should change it. Yes, a better idea would be nice. And some bad, saying that this is the standard. Everyone knows that this is the standard. This is part of what it means to be a webcomic as much as anything else.
Which, oh, I think I'll be on your side with that, against that comment. But I do want to get Carter in here if he has any commentary before we get into some of the ideas that we may have. Carter, do you have any commentary on anything that we've discussed so far to get you in here?
Well, I appreciate that. But not really. I agree with what Ross has laid out as sort of the problem. The problem is that you need a way to deliver your comic to people in a way that, you know, that they can read it.
Yeah, and to sum it up, I mean, if we had to put this problem into one sentence, it's that there are better ways of browsing. We see every day better ways of browsing sites than we see on webcomic sites.
Okay.
That's not part of it, because we're all sort of, you know, I don't know, artists and writers and not web designers.
And this is exactly why I insisted on Carter being here, because Carter is a webcomic artist, webcomic writer, and also a developer of, WordPress and Magic.
Yes, okay. Magic.
Yes.
That's on my card.
I think before we go into some new ideas, I want us to try to think and recap of some ways, if you can't even remember the site specifically, but there's some ways that some comics have actually tried to do things differently, and I've got a couple already. There was one site, I apologize, I forget what it was, but basically you loaded the page, there was no scrolling at all with the page, but you were supposed to use your arrow keys to push the to basically scroll the comic, just the comic itself, up and down, and they had the header and sidebars.
XKCD has keystrokes that'll move you back and forth and randomly.
Well, there are some sites that have the arrow key back and forth navigation, but that's still basically is just you don't click to go back and forth. It's just you push a button. But this is all. It was, I think the whole page was maybe. It was some sophisticated CSS, I'm supposing, but basically arrow keys move the comic itself up and down and left and right, you know, navigated through the comic, but everything else stayed static. The comic was the only thing that changed. Now, that I found that annoying because I didn't know what the hell I was doing because I was lost. It's like, what the... So one sidebar is entirely devoted to how to navigate the comic, and it's like such a waste of space, and it's like, give me the arrow clicks. Or whatever, just because I know what I'm doing then, sort of
there,
thing.
There is a certain comfort to familiarity, and I can understand why people keep using the same template. Aside from our own ignorance of web design, there is this idea of this is what people expect from a webcomic. If I give them something different, maybe they won't like me. Especially when you're first starting out, maybe hesitant. How do you get past that?
Quick pause, which is to say that the biggest problem... One umbrage I take up with your statement on calling it web design is because don't think of it as web design. Think of it as like common sense and annoyance avoidance. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm really trying to do is the best web designers are not people that have read a ton of books or whatever. The best web designers are the people that are just intuitive and realize the experience that they're currently having. Like, you don't necessarily realize how many times you get a little annoyed with a site, but you do. You do every day on every site you go to. You get a little annoyed when something isn't exactly how you want it or exactly where you look for it. And so my point is, I just want to make the point that, like, everyone that uses a website has a valid opinion. Like, yes, there are web designers who try and, like, curate that and find the best ways, make the most people happy, but, you know, like, don't feel like because you're not a web designer or something that you don't have a valid opinion on how websites should work, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you use websites every day, and therefore you have done as much research as most other people, you know? I just feel like that's an important distinction.
And I can understand that, and I do have to say that when I build my sites for my webcomics, I do no work. I do exactly what every other webcomic site does because that's what they expect, and then I move on. When I do my other sites, it's what's new, what's usable, what's, you know, graphically intimidating, what's graphically exciting, you know, all of these different things. I put a heck of a lot more thought into the other sites because, you know, last, next. I know the webcomic cements. That's what we do. So how do we bridge that? If we want to do new things, how do we bring our audience to those new things without having our entire sidebar, which could be used for other things, there is explanation.
Well, a cardinal rule of design is that if you have to explain how to use the thing, you failed.
You're already lost.
You can't it's not really – yeah, you can't say, I built this brilliant new system and I have to tell you how to use it because – the system is so smart and you're clearly very stupid. that's obviously not the way to go. But what Ross is trying to say, I think, is that a well-designed system doesn't need to be explained. A person will arrive at it. They don't need to know a thing about webcomics. Mm-hmm. They don't need to know a thing about anything. You don't assume that they know anything. They get there and they say, oh, well, this is clearly how I use the system. And if it needs to be explained, then the designer has failed.
Mm. Well, so it should still be intuitive.
Right. Well, yes. Of course. It should definitely be intuitive. And the thing is, look at, okay, a site that gets mentioned a lot as is it or is it not a webcomic is the Oatmeal, right?
Yeah.
Oatmeal is kind of this weird thing in comparison because it doesn't have the normal format to it. It doesn't have, you know, a lot of the same kind of like cultural tropes of updating schedules and things that webcomics seem to have on the whole. Again, not every single one, blah, blah, blah. But the Oatmeal is not a chronological archive if you go look at their site. And it doesn't have to be. It didn't need to be. And that's fine. And you don't even worry about it, you know?
Right.
Their site is set up. There's just a bunch of blurbs. If you go to the Oatmeal.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to stop you right there.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Oh, you just basically defined the site, and the definition is absolutely not comic, because therefore it is not sequential art. Yes, yes, you can argue that it's art. You can argue that it's online. You can argue that it's funny.
You're arguing that the Oatmeal isn't sequential art?
You just said it's not in any order.
No, a lot of the Oatmeal absolutely is sequential art. What?
You just said it was not in any particular order.
He meant the individual entries, not the pieces of art itself.
The individual entries. Like, there's a bunch of comics on it, but the comics themselves, like The Likeability of Angry Birds, The Six Crappiest Interview Questions, How My Handwriting Has Changed Since Kindergarten.
Yeah, you don't have to read those one at a time. You know,
so they're collections, different collections here and there, is what you're saying.
I mean, literally, like any gag a day comic, it follows
and
the same sort of thing.
When I go to the Oatmeal site, I can see which one's the newest because it kind of tells me that, but I have no idea when any of the others were posted in comparison to any others.
Right,
There's not one that looks like it's clearly the oldest or one that looks clearly like it's the newest. Well,
because they stand alone.
Yeah, because they're all standalone, and it just takes you to one, and then depending on the one you're on, at the bottom of the page is links to other ones that are like it. And that's it. And that just... that destroys the whole first, previous, next, last thing.
Okay.
And destroys the normal, like, archive system. It's a very different approach to that right there. I think
I got another comic that kind of compares to that, but still bridges the traditional style. If anyone reads Ogloff, which is brilliant, you know, they'll update, like a web...
She, I believe.
She.
She's amazing.
She updates in such a way where, you know, it's kind of an irregular update schedule, and so you can go check. But if she uploads, like, say, like, you know, 2-4 different pages in a row, you know, at the same time, she'll put the newest, you know, the first one up there, and then you'll see that there's more pages to this. But
it's little chunks of the story.
Yeah.
How many times have you guys been on Ogloff's site and not realized that there's three more following, because it's not necessarily that clear.
Just a couple of times, and then I said, oh.
Wait, just a couple of times, though. But you're a devoted webcomic person. You're devoted enough to have a podcast network devoted to webcomics.
True.
You clearly are putting in the time that I don't think the average person is going to put in.
Possibly.
If this were really intuitive, then...
Well, now, what I'll say about Ogloff is that if there is a next page within that little arc... next page is in color.
Yeah, you see it.
And when there's not a next page, it's not. So it should be fairly intuitive for anyone who's, you know, at all web proficient. The other thing is that the archive page, which I really enjoy, has them in the little chunks so that you're seeing them in the 3-page, 5-page chunks. It's not page by page by page.
Right.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to bring up.
Sometimes she puts a little commentary beneath that's safe-ish.
Yes,
safe and moral.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Or not at all.
It's sweary. Yep.
So that was what I wanted to bring up. And I have to say, something that I had seen early on has disappeared, and that is basically story chunks is basically what the Oatmeal is essentially doing. They have chunks of standalone stuff. And I do remember when I first started reading comics that you would go through the archive and see that, usually like a crop of something, so you know, oh, okay, that's the one I recognize, that image, if you're archive dominant, or know what you're going to get into, like a little crop of one of the comics, and you'll see a particular story separated, and it's a lot easier to think of reading, especially comics like that, when you're dealing with web comics versus a huge giant list of page one, page two, page three, and you have no idea what any of this could be. Especially, of course, Gag a Day comics.
Yeah,
won't benefit from something like this, but I'm seeing less and less story collection for archive viewing. And
now hold on, because something interesting that you kind of touched upon there is that one thing that the Oatmeal and Ogloff are both doing well that not necessarily all websites are doing. Now, yes, I would like to see like overall huge change, but even small changes can make huge differences. And oh bollocks, the phone's ringing.
All right. Well, actually, this is a good time to take a quick break because I'm running out of room here on this file. So, we'll visit this issue in just a moment.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on a Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
I totally lost my train of thought.
There were
you said there were subtle things.
Subtle things, right. Okay, good. Great. I know where we're picking up.
And we are ready to go.
Go.
Okay. Ray, when you are.
Yeah, we're ready.
Do I just launch back in? Or do you want to say we're back or something?
Just go, man.
Okay. So yes, I would like to see overall kind of big change in terms of comics and better templates and systems that better kind of showcase them. But even small changes can make a big difference on sites. Small things like in your archive, having thumbnails like Ogloff does that kind of gives you a hint of which one it is super helpful. I mean, it takes a lot of work, but it's super helpful to like glance through and be like, oh yeah, what did this one look like? Yeah. What did this comic I was looking for look like? And gives you just another cue that can help you find what you're looking for. Because a lot of times, archive diving is mostly for, it's for two people. It's for newbies that are kind of slowly working their way through, and people that have already read it looking for one they remember.
Yeah.
Those are the two things. And the newbies, maybe they see something enticing in all those thumbnails, but the people looking, you want to give them every possible way of finding what they were looking for. And visual cues are a huge help to that. There's a lot of other cues that would be great too, like tagging things and having better search systems and that sort of thing.
I find the Gag a Day people just being frustrated then. There's nothing I can do. If you were to take like one frame, you know, one face shot from any Penny Arcade and put it in an archive, you would still have no fucking idea what that one was about. You could take any single frame from any one of the comics that will be going up on Daisies and Shit and have no clue a year later what that one was about.
That's true.
I don't necessarily
agree with that. If you take an Ogloff style, you know, up close shot, but if you look at a list of thumbnails of even Gag a Day comics, yeah, you can see generally what was going on in there. And I would have agreed with you before I started working on this this Comic Flow thing with Ross. But after seeing, you know, even just all of our comics in a row, thumbnails of them, you can tell which ones you're looking at, and you can tell what you can easily find the ones you're looking
for. And it's way better than nothing, you know?
Well, yeah, or just the title, which half the time people don't even know there was a title. They glaze right over that.
Or that when you write the title, you write it to be funny or something, so that winds up not being helpful as well. And like, look at Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, for example. When you go to look at their archive page, it's a list of dates.
I know, which is
numbers
horrible.
And dates, which is the least useful way to navigate something, finding the one you're looking for. Like, I remember that it was about dinosaurs and scientists and decided, you know, that's not helpful to finding the comic if yeah. I just see a bunch of dates. So, you know, there needs to be some better ways of handling some of that stuff. And the answer is that there's no reason there can't be better ways of handling that stuff.
Right. Do you think part of the problem is that there just isn't a drop and drag way to do that? Like, I don't.
I do. I absolutely do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm using Inkblot and WordPress, and I can't do that. I can't just set it up. I can't click, you know, the buttons for Archive to set it up that way. And I can use thumbnails and things like that. But I can't really innovate beyond the bounds that I have unless I'm going to code my own site. And I don't have that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or hire someone to do it. And you right. probably don't have that kind of disposable income to spend on a webcomic.
No, not yeah. to spend on that. No.
and I'm pretty sure we're not saying that, oh, my God, you have to do something different now. No, if you really don't know what you're doing, there's obviously a very safe and very standard design right now, and I could talk to you this whole podcast about that, and I got a whole write up about that. As far as a minimal, you should do this at least.
For those of us who would like to innovate and who would like to do those things, but just don't have the capacity, it's a little frustrating.
Right.
Well,
right.
Okay, but look, if this is why I tried to bring it up in the way that I did is that. Yes, most the big kind of feedback I've gotten on bringing this up in general is that, hey, look, I'm an artist. I don't have time for this shit. I just need to get my stuff up. I'm not tech savvy. I have enough problems dealing with just the comic part of it. I can't deal with all the stuff outside it. Yes, I get it. That's true. But your stuff is on the web. You know, it is the frame around all of your stuff. Yeah. You know, you need to. First of all, as an artist, you need to have some sort of ownership of that. And second of all, if all of us feel that way, and all of us talk about this, then in the same way that comic press got built, why can't something else get built? You know?
Oh, I would love that, but I'm not going to be the one to build it.
Ooh.
I don't, and I think that's again where the frustration comes in. We would all like to see something new, but
we're waiting for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
I do want to say there's another comic that does it differently, or probably a little bit old school actually, because like I said at the beginning of the show, Zoe Robinson. No, wait, not Zoe, but I know that some people used to, especially for short stories or like entire chapters, they basically stack the pages on top of each other. You'd scroll down, and it'd be like a whole nice. Little comfortable sitting, and then you click next. Spine with Lana does the same thing. It'll update page, and like a strip, 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 and after like 10, it'll make a whole new page. And then it'll keep updating strip, 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 so you can still kind of quickly see about where you were, and it doesn't create, you know, it's not the whole genius way of knowing about, I mean, you don't have to figure out what it's doing, basically.
Right. And I guess I can see ways to patch together something that is innovative-ish. I can see ways, you know, using like some of the different plugins for WordPress. I can see having your archive instead of being part of the main kind of open in the same window, but with a separate plugin that does different things. And I mean, I can see using things like BuddyPress and different things like that, where you can
BuddyPress.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with BuddyPress.
It's a social thing for WordPress.
Yeah, it's a plugin for WordPress.
Is that the annoying social bar at the bottom of your browser?
No. There's a lot of different functionality with it. Everything from photo streams to forums and all of that kind of thing. So I know that there are plugins and things that could be integrated in with most of that, maybe. It would just take some time and fiddling. I think. You know, another thing that I was thinking as far as the chapters, like if you do have a story comic, as Kindles and kind of, you know, book content on the internet becomes second nature, it would be really easy to just have a bookshelf and have every chapter have its own little book. You take down the book and read it just like you would any other, you know, any other digital book. So I can see things like that working very well. Which would be attractive visually and still I guess, functional.
Carter?
Did I lose everyone?
No, yeah, I'm here. I've been working on this thing. I talked with Ross about this a couple weeks ago, and I've been working on a WordPress plugin that could present sort of an infinite scroll to reading webcomics. I'm gonna send you the link. I think I just put it in the chat room like that, right?
Excellent.
Now if you're using Internet Explorer, don't bother, because I haven't finished debugging it for that particular thing just yet. But Firefox and Safari and Chrome, it works great in. And what this does is it saves your place while you're reading it. It remembers it uses cookies to remember where you are. And don't use the read the post functionality, because that doesn't work either. I think I may have closed it. There's one of Ross's friends did a sketch of a way to do this in a horizontal scroller instead of a vertical one, which I actually like better.
I enjoy this.
I'm trying to find this.
Finish it. No.
Yeah, it's not done yet. Well, because the big thing is to make it, like you said, you know, web comicers aren't designers and developers. They don't know how to do this stuff. And that's fine, because they're busy learning how to do other things. So this kind of thing has to be hot swappable. You got to be able to just give it to someone, and it's got to be foolproof, and they have to be able to click the button. Otherwise they're not going to use it. The only reason that I would spend so much time on a thing like this is because I really do think that it would be beneficial to the comic community, in the exact same way that comic press is, because the comic press, the underlying architecture for comic press is really solid for uploading webcomics. And they've got a great storyline feature that I don't use because we over at Kirk & Gremlins don't use because we don't do a lot of continuities. It's just the presentation that I do not care for. The front facing templates, you know, they tried, you know, they tried to do single column, two column, three column,
Yeah, and they're trying to create something that works for everybody. So, of course, by making it work for everybody, it's not going to work for anybody.
Yeah, you have that bell curve deal going. Yeah.
Yes.
I really like the scrolling archive, though. That makes a great deal of sense, and it's intuitive and it's attractive. And
is this a custom, has to be typed in code, or is this something that's a plugin for something? Or
I wrote this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been custom.
You have to link to it, because otherwise everyone listening to the show is like, where is it? Why can't I see it?
Oh, it's crookedgremlins.com/comicflow, and I am worried that I'm gonna get a cease and desist letter from Apple, telling me that I can't use that name.
Comicflow.
it could happen. I don't know. If it would, of course, mean that someone from Apple would have to read this comic, which I don't think that's going to happen.
But you are developing this as a plugin so that other people
yes.
will be able to use it. And that makes me happy. Pants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, but there is an inherent problem, is that whenever this gets plugged into another website, there's going to be a ton of styling code that has to come attached with it and has to be modifiable, which means that you have to give people access to it, which means that people could break it. So these are technical problems that I'm trying to sort through just to make it as user proof as possible. Right. But I think something like this could be very useful to people in general and comic makers in specific.
And I especially like it because it's not like when you're putting up a thumbnail of, you know, I do full page comics. When you're putting up a thumbnail of a full page comic, in order to have it recognizable, it needs to be a certain size, which is fine. But once you get an archive of 100, 200 comics, you're scrolling down for an age and a half, and you've completely blown your whole kind of web design as far as, you know, that above the fold sort of look. And this keeps it all above the fold because the scrolling down is happening, you know, in a separate frame. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, No. It's a good first try. I think our first stab at solving this problem. But I think that Ross, you don't have the link to that other thumbnail, do you?
I do. Do you want it?
Yeah. Can we post that in the chat room? Can that go out?
I'm not sure. Like, it's an Instagram link, so it's kind of one of these hard to spell out. But if you go to my website, systemcomic.com, and look for the article, Finite Canvas, Better Frame, which is this post that we keep referring to where I brought all this up in the first place, you can see in the comments of there, which comment is it, just so people can look for it.
Can this not go up in the Ustream chat room?
Oh, it can. I'm just not in Ustream right now because every time I try to log into Ustream, bad things happen.
I was going to ask, Fez, could you, you know.
Yeah.
I'll repost a couple of these into the Ustream.
Okay. If you look at Finite Canvas Better Frame, then I posted a post that starts two posts my friend Carrie tried to make that didn't go through because of intense debate. And in there is a link to Instagram, instagr.am/p/D0ust.
Okay, and it instantly tries to open the iTunes store for me.
Really?
Yeah, when I click the Instagram.
That's weird. It doesn't do that for me. Anyway.
So fun.
The idea is that you have a main kind of flow area in the middle and then a series of thumbnails below it, kind of like a Flickr slideshow.
Yeah, okay.
For comics.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but now here's kind of the devil's advocate for a minute, which is this kind of thing is great. You know, this kind of like just read through all the comics is great, but then people aren't reading the commentary that you're posting with them if you post commentary with your comics. So you'd have to work in, you know, how do you add that commentary to this stuff if you care about that. And if you care about things like ad revenue, then you're missing out on all those clicks of clicking through.
Absolutely. That is a large argument against things like this.
Well, now, but you could frame this in such a way where your advertising is still available to either side of this main window, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, but that's one click. That's one hit. That's not going to reflect the readerships, and that's not going to better your advertising.
But now, if you were only using this as an archive, I don't know that that would be that much of a
gain more people from having a much more accessible archive, and then keep it on the main page. Like,
because my archive page has never been up on Project Wonderful anyway, and I assume we're talking about sites like Project Wonderful, where every time the page loads, you're getting that, you know, oh, somebody went to this site. Yeah. My archive page has never touched those stats. It was only new viewers, because otherwise those stats don't reflect anything I want to know about.
Right.
I can look at different stats to find out who's trolling the archives. I want to know who's here today.
I'm sorry, just real quick. There's nothing technical to prevent adding an ad to every single comic that comes up. There's just I personally wouldn't do that. Just because I don't believe that the CPM advertising model is sustainable for people who really want to have a niche audience. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get enough eyeballs through Google ads to pay any substantial amount of money that's going to be worth pissing off most of your readers because you're bugging them with ads about, you know, how awesome Viagra is or whatever.
And if you were to use this like side scrolling model or the vertically scrolling model as an archive only, and you can still have your regular ads on your main page, you're still going to be getting that revenue. I know Project Wonderful pays for all of my site stuff. It pays for my hosting and my domain names and everything else. So Yeah.
What am I doing wrong?
No, I don't know.
Well, you're selling t-shirts and you're getting stuff that way. I think what you're doing wrong, let me go to the systemcomic.com. And see what you're doing wrong with Project Wonderful ads. They're nowhere near the comic. That's why nobody's bidding on them.
That's true.
Basically.
I have a tower ad next to the main comic, and then I have also the cheap buttons below the comic, and that has always paid for my site. It's paid for my hosting and my domain names.
Yeah, as far as this Instagram,
and my own advertising.
I really like the idea, especially if you're like trolling through the archives. Then again, like you still, with this, you can come up with the problem if a link is not provided – like, say, to go to this post, for you to bookmark it and come back to it later. Because there's been a couple of, what is that, the guy who wrote that comic about, like, it was, like, the Mexican worker, and they, like, removed their mouths somehow, and,
oh,
they,
yeah.
and they worked in space. I forget what that was. I'll try to find the link for it. But basically, you kind of had to click through and read the whole thing in a sitting, or there was absolutely no way to get back to a particular comic that you didn't read. And that I really found very annoying, because there's no, like, stop or bookmark or this is the page or permalink, basically.
Yeah.
And so
this is the internet. We want things fast and we want them gone. You know,
well, we also want to know where to get back to that, you know.
But there's no way there's it's so easy to create unique URLs while you're going through something like that now. That you could easily. Yeah,
there was no reason for them to do that the way they did it.
It was it might have been an embedded flash or something like that. I have no idea.
It was
Wait, are you suggesting that each comic as you go through the archive would have like a little checkbox next to it that says read this later? And then
just a link back to it.
Just a way to say, you know, start when I come back to this site, I want to start here.
Oh, so, yeah, this has that built. Like I said, this if you close your browser and open back up, there's a cookie that says which comic you were reading, and it'll take you right back to it.
But I deny cookies on every site.
I got nothing for you.
You're making your web experience difficult for no apparent reason.
Well, okay, it's I allow cookies for places that I need to have cookies for logins for something that I'm just visiting. Then I got to go to, and then I got to change it to accept cookies. Refreshes the page, and then it's like, oh crap, I lost my place because this thing would just change the image.
You've decided for the web to be difficult for you. No, that's your
problem. No, I decided to make the web safe for me.
It's cookies. They're not dangerous, really.
If you accidentally click on a site and it's like, oh shit, spamware and things are loading on my computer, if I deny cookies to everything.
That has nothing to do with cookies.
What?
My God, man.
It does. It helps.
Okay, we have a separate...
People don't get my information.
We need to get back.
Anyway. Webcomics.
Okay. I'm not delving into the issue.
The relative security of cookies notwithstanding. I mean, if you really wanted to be safe, you'd also disable JavaScript, which would break this for you as well.
That's the other thing. A lot of people have ad blocker and will just turn off JavaScript, and then it's like, boing.
Yeah, not a lot of people. I think the latest... The latest statistic was something like 10% of people have JavaScript disabled. Which I mean, yes, there's no other way for this to work. There's no other way for infinite scrolling cannot work. It is there are 350 some odd comics in our archive. If it loaded every single and something you may notice is that it progressively loads the thumbnails so that if you look at this on a mobile device, it doesn't eat up your bandwidth downloading 350 thumbnails. It only loads up the ones that you see. You can't do that without JavaScript. You have to have it. And if someone disables JavaScript, the best web practices say you have to have a fallback for it. I don't know at this moment what that fallback would be.
I'm gonna admit that right now. You know, I know them, but I don't use them because 98% of my viewers don't use them, and the 2% that do, the 2% that don't see my content correctly, fuck them. I'm going to say that right out.
Fuck them, but yeah. I'd say they understand. They know, because if you know what a cookie is and you know to turn it off, you understand that a lot of sites use them and that when it doesn't show up right, you're not like, oh, what the hell? Yeah, you understand. You know exactly what the hell. You know.
Yeah. And I guess I just figure that I don't have the time to worry about that 2%. And I have known people who've actually set up a special HTML site that they've gone through and they put the comics in, and it's, you know, it's worked and it's old school, but it works. I'm not going to do that. I don't really care.
I can't do that ever again.
I know
again.
It sounds horrible, but...
I'm really hoping those days are over for most people. But we're going to take a quick break because we have to. We'll be right back.
Calculations with the window. graphic. Connected.
That was Redesign Your Logo by Lemon Demon, found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com. All right, before we get back to the show, we have a few milestones to go over. Let's see here. We have Beware the Slumpy, which has hit 1 year at bewarethislumpy.com. We also have Office Rats. OfficeRats.net, which has hit its 100th comic, and Demon Eater from, Demon Eater.com has hit 500 comics. So congratulations on all of your milestones. If you have a milestone that's of your first 100 or your first anniversary, 500 comics or 5 years or 1,000 comics in 10 years, you know, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Yeah. How long of a break have we got? Can I dip out for a second?
Yeah.
Well, if you actually have to take a real break, you can. Go ahead.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep recording just in case something funny is said.
Okay.
What's your web address again?
Who, mine?
Yeah.
Right now it's Daisies and Ship Productions. It's not done. Daisiesandshipproductions.com. I've already, just in the URL, ticked off 2% because they can't visit it at work. Daisiesandshit.com, I do have an alternate URL that, you know, bleeps out the bad word so that they can get to it. But
you need
it's no one in
it. Huh? You need daisiesandshirt.com.
Nice. It's nowhere near finished. That's what I'm doing today. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's sort of lame and sad right now.
Well, so, God.
Daisies and Ship Productions is just a launch page.
What's your other comic?
That one's not functional at all. It's daisiesandshit.com. It hasn't launched.
Okay,
I'm coming off of a year and a half hiatus.
Okay, well, what was your comic before that?
That was Betaphone. I took that down. I took Betaphone down. there is literally no way. You can still see it at daisiesandshit.com/betaphoned, but I did no design because I'm not actively encouraging people to see it.
What is this now?
oh, he's trying to look at my stuff, which is either not finished
right.
process or completely slapped together because I don't want people to be there.
Right. I think to kick this in, I think I want to go over stuff that I think we all can agree on absolutely do not use. Like absolute do nots that will transcend both the current standard and the new ways of going. Obviously, I don't think anybody uses some people still kind of have splash pages or have it go to their blog instead of their comic, like the homepage. It's like, no, stop it right now.
Penny Arcade does that.
They're not a comic site. They're a gamer site with a comic.
Yeah.
And also, everybody else is not Penny Arcade. Yes.
Oh, yeah, nobody's Penny Arcade.
Nobody
That's the
is
problem.
Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade is barely Penny Arcade.
Your homepage should show your latest comic all the time.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah, well, okay, all so, like, time. Penny Arcade's a great example of a lot of things they could be doing better, you know, so easily.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all... They don't have to, sure, but look, everyone can trim the fat and make their stuff more accessible and more right. easy to look at and whatever. And for a company that has, let's face it, the time and money and effort, why don't they? You know? Why aren't they leading the way on this stuff?
I'm surprised when I see, because their site does break much more often than a site of their means should.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's but I mean that's not, you know, I have no idea what the internal politics of who wrote the code and how it's coming together is. I do know that when they put out a call for a new graphic designer, they also indicated that that person should be able to do quote web stuff, which is just a horrible a way to describe a job. like we need you to be able to do graphic design and web stuff. And yes, I did apply for that job, and yes, I was rejected. But that's not why I'm upset about it.
But I will say, at least Penny Arcade does have a static page which you can bookmark. It's PennyArcade/comic. And I think when it comes to, I've seen typically in a lot more like manga style stuff, like the homepage, the URL will take them to a blog, but there's there's a crop of the latest comic and you can click on that because they can't have a latest comic because the way whatever code or template they're using doesn't have a most recent thing. It just goes, basically the link changes all the time, which is better than just going right to the blog. It's doing something, but basically you have a comic, but the first thing you want people to see is your comic.
There's so much out there right now. There's so much cool JavaScript, so much cool CSS and HTML and all of this jazz that there's no reason to have to settle. Like, if people, like, you, we can make a better, we have the technology.
There is a reason. Roscott, there is a reason. Okay, there's several reasons. One, they don't know about it. Two, they don't know how to do it. Three, there's no accessible way for them to try to figure out how to take what they already have and do stuff to it, they don't have the money to pay somebody to do it. You know,
I do want to point out that the Comic Flow relies entirely on the underlying Comic Press architecture. That those thumbnails are generated by Comic Press, and that without Comic Press, I probably wouldn't have bothered trying to write Comic Flow.
Yeah, so people can understand
this.
The plugin.
Let me ask this, Tanya. How much would you actually pay to have a better system?
If I had the money.
No, just what amount that you currently have would you pay?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, what is it worth? He's asking what it's worth to you. Yeah.
And I'm about to put out a number that wouldn't pay for a whole new site, and that's fine. What number? Put out a number, though. $20? $100? $100. Okay. $100. If we got together, you know, 50 artists that all would like to have a better system for their sets, and they all put in $100, okay? This is total Kickstarter. I know. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But if we got together 50 artists, $100, that's, you know,
that's five grand.
that's $5,000. That right there might be enough to do it, you know?
I just want to say for the record right here, I would happily develop Comic Press as a plugin for $5,000.
Dude, I would work on it with you.
But there's a problem with there's a problem with that for the developers. Like, for one, you can't put this on the WordPress site. Two, it's WordPress. Why, people can get into that code. already. It's not very...
Well, no. As a plugin. He's not talking about...
Yeah, but still, people
comic,
can't...
Comic
people
Press
still
is released
get...
under the GPL. All WordPress
but
plugins.
But can't people get into your code anyway and not pay for it and just kind of steal and pass it around? It's
no,
not...
this is more yeah. like paying on the front. This is more like yep. paying to produce
You're paying
it.
For the development. You're not paying for... You know, like exclusive rights to the thing.
I think I'm I think I'm too greedy to pay for something that everybody else is going to get for free and didn't pay anything. I think.
Well,
I'm,
here's the
like,
thing:
I paid $100.
It's never going to fucking happen.
Yeah, it doesn't get done.
The problem.
Yeah, it doesn't
obviously,
get done.
Webcomics have been online for how long?
Right.
And it hasn't happened. So. But,
okay. Now look at Penny Arcade. Like, I can name you five things that Penny Arcade site can be doing better easily. You know, I mean. It's
like, get rid of the flash ads. That's number one.
Oh God, please.
Well, okay. That aside, because that's linked to their ad model, and that I won't touch. But okay, You can't. The comic is not easily, clearly accessible from the homepage, and it's not clear where it is accessible. What that comic's going to be, but putting it on the homepage with the post that goes about it might be a good idea.
Absolutely.
Not mentioned on top of that. Having a more accessible archive than their current archive system of archive search tag words mess thing would be great.
It's a cloud, a tag cloud, I believe it's called.
They do cloud.
Yeah, tag cloud is kind of messy. Having related comics that show up with each one, if they're bothering to tag everything like this. Are you guys hearing some horrible, like...
Mm-hmm. Echo.
Echo, yeah.
Yeah, I hear it too.
I don't know. I don't hear anything.
Okay, well,
it's not that I disagree with you, Ross, but I just think, you know why David Letterman wears bright pink socks with his gray suits?
Why?
Because he's David Letterman and he can.
And they're Penny Arcade and fuck it.
They're Penny Arcade. Their content is going to be red. It doesn't matter how they present it. I don't think they're a good model for this particular discussion.
But how – right. But I guess my point is that everyone could be doing something better. I could be doing something way better. I'm working on doing something way better, but you know.
Oh, I've redesigned the Crooked Gremlin site like five times. Like,
yeah, I'm on my fifth reiteration. So.
But you know what I did every time was remove more stuff.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I did most of the time was just taking shit out. Taking shit out that wasn't necessary. And you know, I sat down with Paul and we talked about like what is it that we care most about. Well, number one is the comic. Two is get rid of the ads. And that's about it.
You know, what I would really like to see is actually more of a Kindle sort of setup. I'd love to have the nice little arrow bars to either side that'll take you back one comic or forward one comic, and then have the additional links for, you know, random or first and last at the bottom. I would love to see those things. I just don't know how to do them. So,
or how about, I mean, there's no reason that you can't have persistent navigation that locks the sides of the page that have those big-ass buttons on them. And then if you're scrolling up or down a bit for longer comics.
No, that doesn't work very well for... touchscreen devices they don't accept CSS fixed positioning.
Right.
Balls.
Because it's
the viewport. That's the other thing. Yeah, you do run into these sort of technological issues as well. You know, and I don't want to make apps for my comic. It's not worth it.
I wrote a Crooked Gremlins app. There is a Crooked Gremlins app in the App Store. If you want to go download it, it's free.
Yeah, you know, with a full page comic, it's not worth it for me anyway, because I would have to build it in such a way that you could still read it. It's way more time than I want to put in.
Yeah, I mean, but we hit on a really interesting point here, which is that figuring out what you want your site to do is really important.
Well, that's any design project is about solving a problem,
right?
Right.
And it's usually one big problem with lots of little problems, and that's how design is done.
Well, and this is something that we talk about on the Beacon all the time: is that planning is overlooked by a lot of web comic artists. Period. They're not planning what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, what they're going to do with it long term. They're certainly not planning their website. So. Your planning is something where a lot of people fail.
But this goes back to what Ross was saying earlier, was that how could you not care so much about how people are going to experience your work that you would just offload it to a series of pre-built plugins that, you know, that present your work in such a bland way.
Bland, but very familiar and presently still working way, why it ain't broke, why fix it sort of mentality, I would argue.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't... What?
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah, it, to me, I'm absolutely perfectly fine as a reader reading this stuff. And honestly, I've kind of mentioned of things that I would get pissed off because it's different. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
But all the archive ideas, I'm all for that. But as far as like homepage sort of stuff, you know, it's like...
Well, okay, look at it this way. I don't know the exact statistics, but I'm damn certain that people that read one webcomic tend to read a few others as well.
I read over 150 comics.
Sweet God, man. What else do you do?
Nothing.
See, this is my... I am a reader. I read a bunch of webcomics.
This is why he can't do a journal comic. He doesn't have time to do anything else.
But right now, the webcomic audience, because of that kind of thing, is very insular. You know, there are a lot of people that only read other things, you know. But there's no reason that a comic about, gambling couldn't also be pulling, like, from the gambling audience instead of from the webcomic audience, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
And if sites were more accessible in ways that weren't just, oh, well, I read all these other webcomics, so I get how this works, but were something that people actually could more easily peruse and get into, then... people might pick up a lot more new readers from a lot more new places.
You're absolutely right with that.
Yeah.
And we do have a very... people do seem to have a very narrow scope. When they're looking for their webcomic artists, or their webcomic audience, they tend to take it from
other
webcomics. And while that does work, especially with Project Wonderful and things like that, there are a million ways to broaden that scope to other communities. See a great Saturday Morning Festival and Scenes from a Multiverse, where they've reached out to the skeptic communities, XKCD as well, where the skeptic communities may not read other webcomics, but they all read those three because
exactly.
It's been talked about in the posts and in the forums, and people are passing them around. And so you do have that inroad. You hear them on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. That's their market, and they've pushed out to that, and they've done it very, very well. Most webcomics have another market. I'm reaching out to skeptic communities and poly communities and those type of things with my upcoming work. So you can do it, and I agree that the web function should address that. I just don't know how.
The echo.
Yeah, we're getting all Microsoft.
Echo is horrible.
Sorry, I don't hear any echo, which is important because I'm recording.
All right, are we back?
Ooh, I think Somebody's on a Mac.
Okay, I feel better.
Oh, yes, much better.
Oh, God, that was wrong.
It was terrible. but what I was saying was that there's nothing inherent to there's nothing inherent to the skeptic community that's going to set them apart in how they want to read the information,
right.
You know, on a site. I mean, there are certain things, and that's what a lot of design research goes into, is how is this going to be read? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the navigation system itself has to just be intuitive, but better. And I think that's what we've been trying to accomplish.
Okay.
So you don't have to design a version of your website for people coming from skeptics' websites or from the poly, you know.
Poly communities. No, what I'm wondering, though.
What is a poly community?
Polyamory.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah. What I'm wondering, though, is there a way to, I don't know, welcome those other, those communities that we do reach out to beyond webcomic communities. Often on webcomic sites, you see links to other webcomics, you see, you know, the other webcomics I read, those kind of things, but you don't necessarily see the other community affiliations. Is there any way to do that without completely cluttering up your page and making it look like hell?
We just have a recommended reading page that people can go to and look at if they want. It's not something that I want to put front and center. And it was one of those things that we stripped out of the design, was that, you know, if you
really care.
People don't care. People really don't. And okay. I'm sorry, Fez, I didn't get a chance to address this when you said it, but you were talking about people being able to that one of the problems with an infinite scrolling archive like Comic Flow is that you don't see all the, first of all, the ads, which but also the comments that are the posts that you may have attached to a particular comic. If a person is interested in what you have to say, they will go through and read all of that stuff. They will find it. And if they're not interested, they won't.
It depends on the size of the archive, honestly. I mean, I'll point it to Tumblr. Tumblr has an infinitely scrolling thing. Primordial Ooze help you if you ever want to find something ever again. Because you can't link a place at all, ever. You can maybe pull and drag and bookmark a particular post, but that's one thing I really hate about Tumblr. It's like, if you don't see it, if I'm seeing it on my phone, it's like, because I'm looking on my phone, it's like, oh, that's cool. If I'm going to get back online the next day and try to find it because I'm at work, so it's like, well, I could probably waste 30 minutes trying to find that. And then it's out of your mind, and it's a potential loss to go back and revisit.
But that doesn't mean you have to, if we're talking about redoing things, there's no reason we can't redo it and account for that.
I want permalinks. It's like, oh, I like this. I want to save my spot.
Permalinks is like
one. I'm sorry, just real quick. Save your spot across devices?
Well, not necessarily that, but it's like Tumblr.
Holy hell!
It's like,
well, sure, but you just said that you wanted to be able to find it the next day on your other computer without spending half an hour looking for it.
Now you're
talking about
like a fucking Chrome setup where you can sync devices, and I'm not doing that.
I understand that, but my point is that something like this is like, if I'm reading through like some comics have like 1,400, 2,000. 3,000 comic archives.
Okay, wait. This is easy to fix. If you have your little thing that you're scrolling through in the archives, right? You have your little archive image file that scrolls through. If you click on that, it will take you to the actual URL, right, which then you can copy and fucking paste.
Right. And I'm basically being a bitch about this.
Get angry about it.
I'm being a bitch about this because I want to bring it up because I've seen instances where permalinks aren't there, you kind of have to go through it, and I'm basically saying people will want to bookmark a specific thing to come back later. Don't rely on cookies. I really don't want to rely on cookies because, you know,
cookies wouldn't help you across different devices anyway.
Not necessarily different devices.
He's just talking about the link, but here's where I'm confused. I can't think of a webcomic setup currently where you don't have a link to an individual comic.
No, I understand that. I understand. There are a few out there that I have come across, and basically you have to sit and read the whole story in one sitting, or you're going to have to start at the beginning and click through all the way until you find out where you were. I'm saying,
that's just crap design.
I understand that. And I'm saying it's like that for when you're wanting to do new designs, please keep this in mind and make sure that doesn't go away. I'm basically just trying to safeguard. I want to be able to bookmark my place.
When you're innovating, don't destroy functionality that is already a good idea, of course. You know, what you're trying to do is take the things that don't work so well and fix them. Don't break things that do work while you're at it. And I don't see that any of the things that we've been talking about today would do that.
Just in case. I'm just saying just in case.
Sure. Well, I mean, all of those, it's important to note. I mean, like I said, this works using the Comic Press infrastructure. So the permalinks are all still there, and you can still navigate through the comic regularly.
I gotta ask, go ahead. Comic Press or WordPress? Because not everyone, people will use WordPress. They're not necessarily using Comic Press.
Yes, you can use this relies the plugin that I'm writing or that I've been working on requires Comic Press. Obviously requires WordPress.
That narrows out a lot of different people, and nobody's gonna redo their site with a whole new theme.
But I'm certainly not suggesting that they do that. This is not for people that
I would like to see this on something else as well. I mean, it's like WordPress can also make thumbnails.
Well, other plugins. There are things that we can do, but I think the point of talking about this is to talk about those areas that need help, and archives are definitely one of those areas. Having pointless frigging text ads on every goddamn archive image is going to piss me off. Those are things. Yes, those are things that we do need to talk about as far as innovation. And I think that was our gist.
What do you mean text ads?
Google text ads. If you're going through somebody's archives and like the text ads change with everyone, so you have to wait for them to load, I find that obnoxious.
Go ahead.
No, archive specific ads I just find obnoxious. But
something that could be it's at least worth discussing is that when someone is on the comic flow, we'll use comic flow as an example. When someone's on the archive page and there's an infinitely scrollable, you know, way to read the comics, if you have just one ad sitting there, mm-hmm. that ad is going to be seen the entire time that person is on the page, and that's much more valuable than, you know, a million ads that you're going to ignore. It's sort of like the way that the deck and who's the other there's another ad network that works on this principle is that you don't go for high CPM. What you go for is people that are going to give a shit about what it is you're trying to sell.
Like how long it's seen. Do they actually have ways to check that? Because that's the only other thing I think about. The ad companies look for that CPM basically, unless they're doing something different now, I suppose.
Yeah. So Google automatically calculates how many people or how many times an ad is uniquely loaded, and that's how they do their CPM stuff. What I'm talking about is something that's much more individual, because the good thing about Google's ad system is that it can be it's automated, right? You could set up the account and it automatically does all this stuff for you. What I'm talking about is a return to a much more traditional kind of advertising, which is a person sees what you do, mm-hmm. they think your audience would be valuable to them, they contact you and they say, do you want to put, you know, can I pay you to advertise for me? Now people like the deck and this other one, they have you have to be invited to get into this advertising network.
Right.
So it's much more curated. It's not automatic. And you're not going to wind up with, you know, like how Google now has got to pay $500 million to the U.S. Justice Department. Because of people who were illegally using their ad network to illegally sell prescription drugs.
Right.
You're probably not going to wind up with that. Like, you're going to have something like where I got contacted the other day because this guy who owns, I think he owns kinetictypography.com, he wanted me to advertise, a link to his, he wanted to put an ad on the site because of that kinetic typography tutorial. And I wrote him back, I told him basically no, because, I don't think his animations are good, but his site is very bad. And I just as a website designer, I hate to tell people to go look at bad websites. These are the sort of opportunities that I think are going to be more beneficial to everybody involved, the readers, the advertisers, and the publishers, is a much more, hands-on, like I have to contact this person and ask them whether or not they're willing to, that I can pay them to put a link to my site on their site.
Right.
Right. And if you're somebody like me, just give up now, because the number of sites that will refuse me outweigh greatly the number of sites that will accept me. So if you have any sort of adult content, any sort of language issues, certainly if you're doing anything that's considered counterculture or risque, you need
what's your website? Because I need to start reading this.
Well, no, it's not functional yet. So just
not functional yet.
No, it'll be productions. Just keep your eye there.
Yep. Well, I do wanted to say, for those who are interested in advertising, we are looking for advertisers to sponsor individual episodes of the Webcomic Beacon. You can go to webcastbeacon.com/advertise. to see what we're going to be doing with the new network coming up.
Did there.
And we're going to be starting off with...
Here's a good question. Do you have limits, Fess?
Oh, as far as what we'll advertise?
Be advertised, yeah.
Let's see here. From what we have, is basically when you advertise, it'd be like you get like 30 to 60 seconds for like a bit that would be played on the air.
I see.
And... a standard banner image link that goes with the post that stays in the archive. And if it's like 18 plus material, it has to say so. And the graphic has to be, something that's allowable on our site, of course. And I would probably accept any sort of advertisement for any, basically, I'm mostly made it for other webcomicers, but I'd be opening up for any sort of advertising. As long as it's morally in line with, I guess, what the show is about. Like, I'm not going to ever, like, if somebody, like, say, it's like one of those really very right-wing, or even some of the very left-wing activists that are, like, you know, like, I'm probably not going to have any politically charged ads on here because, you know, I'm not going to want to,
you've already illustrated my point.
But, you know,
and
it's
that
like...
That is that when you were doing specific targeted advertising as far as going to specific sites on your own, instead of using something automated like Project Wonderful, you have these discussions. And at any given point, one comic that you put up could violate those kind of standards and you have to find new advertising. That's why I'm a big fan of automated advertising. You know what you're getting into.
We are talking way more about advertising than we are about web design.
We are.
Right. I just wanted to get that in there.
It's important. It is important to discuss.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with this issue is, like, it's not going to be one answer for everybody.
Right. Yes.
And like, that's an important point to make. But, you know, so you do need to leave room for ads within your design.
Yes.
You know, like, yes. But what those ad networks are going to be, like, I don't know. I just feel like we're straying a little bit.
And we are. It's what we do. But you are correct. I mean, obviously, from a web design standpoint, the things that you need to worry about as far as advertising is it going to flash and blink and be obnoxious? Please say no. Are you going to have the advertising directly competitive with your comic? I know that one of the things that I find really odd is when you have, like, a black and white comic and you have color advertising everywhere. I have difficulty then focusing on the black and white because your eye is automatically drawn to color, especially if it's surrounding it on all sides. I'm not a big fan of frame advertising where it's on top and on both sides and on the bottom and, you know, your comic somewhere in the center. You also have to think about where you're going to put it as far as what the advertisers want. If your advertising is too low on the page, they're not going to want to pay for that. It does need to be near the actual content. I know Devil's Panties, there was an issue with that for a while where all the Project Wonderful ads were way, way down below like 3 or 4 blog posts. And I never bid. She may have changed that. Those are all things that you have to think from a design aspect, not just a money aspect. I know for a while when Project Wonderful first came out, people thought, oh, I can get money. And there were 8,000 Project Wonderful ads all over the site. It was hideous. Yeah. And then nobody came anymore. So now you're not making any money. Sorry. Mini rant.
You just remind me, I haven't checked my Project Wonderful to see how much money is in there in a while.
It's good to go back.
When I first found Project Wonderful, I did this experiment where, and this was back, this was years ago when it wasn't just the comic, when there was other content on the Crooked Gremlin site. I wanted to see what would happen if I set it to like the minimum bid to like $10. You know, when I'm getting like 200 unique views a day. And some people bought it. Like, I think that people were just, searching.
The best thing you can do is give yourself that minimum bid because, like, it's like a lemonade stand that sells one glass of lemonade for $1 million.
Yeah. That's a very successful lemonade stand.
You know, you only need to sell it once.
Yeah.
And there is also the notion, you know, it's a psychological thing. People are willing to pay for something that has value. If you give it away for free, they suddenly don't want it. I always did my button ads just kind of free. They were my toss off. Anybody can have them ads. But the tower ads always had a minimum.
I got to say, I'm always skeptical of things. Well, I'm not skeptical of things that – actually, I am very skeptical of things that charge because it's like, is this just another crap thing? I don't want to waste my money or give my credit card number to something that's just a complete joke. This is mainly in like apps, I suppose. But even some programs online – I would like a demo at least. But,
Here's another content issue. On the upcoming Ninjeel site, I do have a members-only area. Mm-hmm. Anyone can have a week. You know, automatically you get a week to look through and see if you're even interested in anything there. And it's going to have extended interviews with scientists and different things that you're going to see on the site anyway, but just more so. What do you guys think about having specific sections on the site just for members at a low cost? Do you think that that's worth it? Do you think it detracts from the web design?
It's a very complicated question.
It depends on
what you're on what it is that you're selling. If you want to sell, you got to accept the fact that most people aren't going to do it. And that means that you'd have to accept a very low. So even saying with a low price, like a dollar for some people, 99 cents is
too much.
Too much.
Too much for fun.
For almost anything. I mean, it's like you get the. Yeah. I mean, aside from the fact that there's no. There's PayPal, but you know, not everybody's going to use that. It's very difficult to have a reliable way for people to pay for your content. That's after they decide to pay for it, which is still going to be very a small percentage of the people that come to the site.
So here's an interesting question from a design standpoint and from just, you know, general web mastery. Are you going to wind up making more money having a site with fresh content and good navigation and this, that, and the other with advertising than you would with any sort of members only or micropayment kind of setup?
I think it honestly depends. Some things stick, some things don't. It depends on the audience. Some things will work better for others. I mean,
if your members only includes boobs, you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, especially with PayPal, they do have a micropayment account that you can sign up for when you create it, which will, I think it's $20 is the cutoff before it starts to be more expensive than the standard. Or just barely more expensive, like $20 would be like a single payment of $20. But they also have like, you know, subscriptions for micropayments.
It becomes not worth it for you at about $20.
Yeah, at about $20.
Actually, it's more like $10. At $10, the micropayments program becomes more expensive for you.
I think I did the calculation and think once you hit $20, I think you're losing potentially 4 cents.
They recommend a cutoff of 10.
Yeah. But 4 cents is 4 cents if you want. They have the ability, if you're mostly going to be using, it's like, for $20, like say if I started a subscription model for the Webcomic Beacon or something like that and go $2 a month or $20 for a year, you know, that would all be handled underneath a micropayment system with PayPal.
But that's again, kind of an aside. What about, like, as far as, what does that do to people who come to your site the first time when they see members only sections and things like that? Is there a psychological impact to that?
Well, definitely. Yeah. You want to see, well, what is there?
I'm asking the web experts.
Sorry.
Stuff.
I'm sorry.
I imagine there is. Yes.
Is it a negative or a positive psychological impact?
I think that the New York Times is having a very hard time convincing people to pay for it. And there is, I'm going to come out and say it. There are no web comics out there that are as important as the stuff that the New York Times is going to be producing. And frankly, they're going to have a much larger audience. They've got something like 30 million web users signed up, and they're still losing money on it. 80% of their profits still come from their print publication.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. This is really my feeling about advertising in general. Mm-hmm. The only people that make money off of Google Ads is in a significant way is Google, because Google's 90, it's such a high number. It's in the 90s percentage of Google's income is from their advertising revenue.
Oh, they're an advertising company. Oh, they're totally.
Yeah.
They're an advertising company. And so every time that someone puts Google Ads on their sites, it disturbs me a little bit because it's like watching that abusive relationship just come back in, where it's like, this is the one guy that gets everything out of it. And this, you know, it's
unless you're going into it with the idea that you want to make a donation to Google, which,
yeah. So yeah. Now that, and that's, that brings back the idea of asking for donations from your readers, where if they don't want to buy something, or if they don't want to spend that much money to buy something, you ask for a membership or you ask for a donation. So there are sites like, Hijinks and Sue, who has a content vault, if you pay,
he also has a micropayment program.
Yeah, and I would imagine, and you sign up for recurring payments. And aside from the tremendous pain in the ass that is setting up a recurring payment system and managing sort of a membership. I mean, like if you think an archive, if you think creating like an archive plugin is difficult, try setting up a membership system, which is also something I'm doing right now. But
it's a bit of a nightmare.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like getting this password storage. I don't want to talk about it. But
this is why people like WordPress. I'm an hour from
bagging the members only section. Now, the reason that I originally set it up is because I didn't want all that additional content cluttering up my main page. I didn't know where to put it. I don't, you know, one of the web rules that I do follow is everything should be accessible in one or two clicks, period. And I don't want to have, you know, I have all this great content that I want to share, but I don't want to have it all over the place. So how do you keep things clean and accessible without just without cutting all the content you want to put out there?
It's a different answer for every single website.
Right, no. I want this quick and easy and clean. No.
Well, then use Comic Press. I mean, that's unfortunately that's the answer to that question.
Or WordPress or something.
Yeah.
WordPress has, you can have you can set up different levels and private pages that are only readable to users with a certain status.
That's what I was doing. I think it was the S2M plugin. It was one of the easiest ones I found for member only content. But one of the things that does bother me about some of the webcomic sites is that if it's not a clutter of ads, it's a clutter of links for other things that are available on the site. Drop-down menus certainly take care of some of that, mm-hmm. but I think that just having the text takes away a lot of the visual appeal for things that you're trying to pull people to. Mm-hmm. So that's another one of those little conundrums that you have when you're setting up a site, making sure that all the things you want people to see are available, mm-hmm. because it keeps them there, and keeping them there is the big point. But also right. not making it a morass of nonsense.
I think we'll have to revisit members areas for a future episode, and we could see who we can get on for that, people that actually have some working models of it. Because I think our listeners would like to hear more about this, and I think especially with PayPal micropayments, it's a lot more feasible to do something like this, at least as far as turning somewhat of a profit. But versus in their typical amounts, because basically people used to do $1 $1 a wallpaper donation downloads and things. That's impractical with the standard PayPal after they change it. It's like you lose 40 cents on $1 basically. It's ridiculous. But we'll work on approaching that topic for a future episode. We should wrap this up. Is there anything else that we could know about the future of this or resources? Oh, if anybody has any ideas or resources, be sure to comment in this post. If you want to go read what Ross Scott wrote up, we'll get that link in the notes as well. Is there anything else that we could let our listeners know?
I have nothing.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I'm working on some experiments in the next couple weeks, so we can, stay tuned. But I'm really like, I want to make sure that I'm creating something that people are going to want to use. So. Or want to read even. So, please seriously do feedback, please. Yes, that.
Yeah. If there's any, especially just readers and not also creators, please weigh in on this because us creators, we're going to have an automatic bias already because we already look at things different. Those that are just readers, we really want to hear your opinions on this as well, because you're the ones we're aiming for. Or to read our comics, just readers, if I'm not being so bold in saying so. But yes, we want to hear your opinion, of course. And I think it's important.
Sure, yeah, why not?
But, this has been a really great episode and a lot of content here. But it is getting to that time to go.
But you can pay 57 cents and hear... the exclusive stuff, I think. That's the really good stuff.
Well, where we'll finally talk about boobs.
Yes. Yes. Once we go to the whole new network, I'm cutting out all the talk about boobs, all the swearing, and that's going to be... I'm just kidding.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, you have to pay for that. No, I'm just kidding.
$3 will give you an image of a boob. See, that's the problem.
$3 you can per
get
boob.
You can get boob for free. You can get so much boob for
Doesn't
free.
Doesn't matter. I could put a link out right now and get my $3.
Really? I don't believe that.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. Tanya's boobs, $3.
Okay, so...
One boob.
I know we have to go, but Tanya, I wanted to say, it's not a design problem. It's a psychological problem with a paywall, is that you want to start reserving your best stuff for that, and that's going to make it harder for people to sign up, because then your best stuff is behind that paywall, and they don't know anymore how good your stuff is. Even with a week
preview,
you know, and if it's a week preview, they're going to get another email address to get another week.
Douche. No, it does make good sense. And really the only reason that I instituted it was to try and declutter the homepage. So I'm probably going to scrap it before Ninja goes live, which, by the way, will go live on Saturday, assuming the rapture doesn't occur Friday.
Well, alrighty then. But we are at the end of our rope time, and I do want to thank Carter from The Crooked Gremlins at crookedgremlins.com.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you.
No problem.
This is fantastic.
And, of course, Ross Scott from The System, Super Art Fight, and, of course, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. Welcome. Thank you and everything.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And, of course, Tanya Higgins of... Well, you'll find out soon.
You can keep an eye at daisiesandshitproductions.com.
And of course, I was Fess of PSIwebcomic.com. See you all next week.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
Proof that you can still get money for boobs is nudityforcharity.org, where they've got people, see, it's like $100. They'll set the price at $100, and when they get that much pledge, then they post a nude photo
of what, of one of them, or
Bubbles will unlock her nude pics when donations to her charity reach $250. This is genius.